Time change. How many of you are glad you got an extra hour? How many of you are going to be sad in, is it March or April, when we lose an extra hour? If really you're not used to eating lunch until later, so I could speak another hour, right? Everybody that thinks that's a good idea, raise your hand. You can see the spiritual people in the congregation. 2 weeks ago, we talked from the book of Jonah about four things. We're going to review real quickly. Number one, God said, go. That has to do with the Great Commission. Jonah said, no. He decided he was going to Tarshish instead, running away from the presence of God, which is an impossibility. God said, woe. He sent a storm and a great fish to slow Jonah down and turn him around. And God said, go again. And then when he did, Jonah said, yo. He said, yes. He said, okie dokie. Last week we talked about salvation. The last two chapters of Jonah had to do with three things. Number one, proclamation. Number two, it had to do with repentance and faith. And number three, salvation. Unless we proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ, people will not know the gospel and will not be able to say yes to Jesus Christ. We need to have compassion on people and share with them the good news. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the othermost part of the earth. During the course of the next several weeks, we're going to focus on our mission emphasis around the world. And today, after the service is over, we're going to cut the stream and we are going to share a little bit about M in South Asia. We can give you some more detail when we cut the stream. But we need to be going, do we not? Proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ. The response needs to be repentance and faith. We need to turn from our sin and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And the result is salvation. Now this week we're back in Joshua. We took a couple of weeks off and went to Jonah. Joshua is a book of victory. And as we look at Joshua, we need to recognize that victory is promised, but it is not guaranteed. If we're not experiencing victory, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. And when we look at Joshua and the book of Joshua, we recognize that such was the case. Now, as we sort of summarize some of the things that went on, of course, we talked about crossing the Jordan River. We talked about Jericho, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. We talked about Ai. We talked about the Gibeonites. We talked about the sun standing still. And in summary, Joshua 10:42, all these kings and their land Joshua took at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Isn't that what it's all about? God fighting for us, so to speak. God is the one that's in control, and our responsibility is to trust in him. In fact, 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our, what's the next word? Faith. We need to trust God, and God will give us victory. It goes on to say in Joshua 11:15, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Not only do we need to have trust, we also need to have obedience. Joshua obeyed God. Should we obey God? We'll be talking about that a little bit more in just a couple of minutes. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey, there's no other way to be victorious either. Joshua 11:23, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. And Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. God's blessing. They divided the land. That's sort of a summary until we get to the last two chapters of Joshua. Joshua 23-24, Joshua's closing words. This is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to keep it relatively simple, although it is a little bit repetitive. Did you know the Bible is repetitive? The Bible tends to say the same thing over and over and over again. I think it's because we're slow of hearing. We don't get it sometimes. But as we look at Joshua chapter 23 and 24, there are three things we're going to talk about, three exhortations. Number one, to celebrate what God has done. Number two, to contemplate what God can do. And then number three, to choose what you will do. First of all, celebrate what God has done. Look at chapter 23, Joshua 23, verses 3 through 4. It says in verses 1 and 2 that Joshua called for all Israel, their elders and leaders and so on, brought them all together and said, I'm old, advanced in age. And then he said this, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And it goes on to talk about the fact that God had done some great things. Isn't it true that God's done some great things? Think about in your life. What has God done in your life? Number one, I guarantee you, if you're here, God created you. Now, there might be some in school or other places that say that we evolved from monkeys. To me, it takes more faith to believe that some amino acids came together and down through the years, all the beautiful aspects of creation have just evolved than it does to believe there is an intelligent creator who created us according to his design and according to our kinds. We need to recognize the blessing of creation. Another blessing that if we know Jesus Christ as Savior is the blessing of salvation. The fact that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. We're going to be spending eternity with him. But I'm sure we can come up with many more, whether it's family or whether it's church or whether it's financial provision or whatever it might be. We need to celebrate what God has done. For Joshua and the children of Israel, he gave them victory and he helped them to divide the land among the 12 tribes of Israel. We also need to contemplate what God can do. Look at verse number 5. Joshua 23, verse number 5. The Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. Isn't it great to know that God promises us different things? Just as we can think about what God has done, we need to think about what God has promised and what he can do. God is able to do anything, right? According to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will give us strength. James chapter 1, verse number 5, if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. He will give it to us. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is able to work in a significant way, and we need to indeed trust him. You know, a couple of verses that I've written down on your notes, and they're on the slide, are in Jeremiah and then Ephesians. These are some of my favorites because it talks about what God can do. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's a rhetorical question. And the obvious answer is what? No, there's nothing too hard for God. Now, some people say, well, can God make a rock too heavy for him to pick up? Why would God want to do that? God can do anything he wants to do. Makes sense, does it not? And then it goes on to say, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. And then Ephesians, Paul, chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory. We need to recognize that God can do anything. So we need to contemplate what God can do. And then number three, we need to choose what we will do. Look at verses 6 through 8, Joshua 23. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done this day. In other words, we need to obey. God wants us to obey. If you have children, did you want your children to obey? Wasn't a situation where you were thinking, oh, it doesn't matter what they do. They could do anything they want to. I don't really care. Most of us as parents don't have that attitude. And if we do have that attitude, in all probability, the kids aren't going to turn out too good. We need to obey our parents. Children, obey your parents. But we also need to obey God. And according to these verses, we need to be very courageous. It takes courage to obey God, especially in this day and age in which it is not politically correct, especially in this day and age in which people make fun of you when you are seeking to live for God. Be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written. It's called total obedience. We need to make sure that we're rightly dividing the word of truth. We understand what the Bible says, and then we do what the Bible says. And when we do that, God is going to bless indeed. So number one, celebrate what God has done. Two, contemplate what God can do. Number three, choose what you will do. Now we're going to keep on going because these three same points are repeated three different times. Verse number 9 says, "For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day." Talking about what God has done. He drove out these nations. People were not able to stand against the Israelites. And I believe it's the same with us. God gives us victory as we trust in him. We need to celebrate what God has done. And we need to contemplate what God can do. Look at verse number 10. "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you." Isn't that an encouraging verse? One man shall chase 1,000. If we have God on our side, so to speak, or we're on God's side, then there's no telling what we can do. We might feel like we're against all odds, but the reality is, as we depend on God, God is able to do far above all that we can ask or think. Contemplate what God can do. And then choose what you will do. Look at verses 11 through 16. Verse number 11. "Therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations that remain among you and make marriages with them and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Been all positive so far, has it not? Till we get to this portion of scripture. And basically says, if you love God, God's going to bless. If you don't, if you stop loving God and you start loving the gods around you, for us that would be the different things that draw our attention away from God, the different things that are more important to us than God. If we do that, then the consequences are going to be negative. It's important for us to recognize that there is a cause and effect, and that when we choose to go against God, things will not go well with us. When we choose to love God, things will go well. My mind goes to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, where it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Don't we have a choice? To love God or love the world? To go his way or to go our way? We need to choose what we are going to do. It keeps on talking about that through verse number 16, but we're going to move on to the next round of these. Actually, there are only two this time. Number one, celebrate what God has done. And number two, choose what you will do. In chapter 24, verses 1 through 13, Joshua goes into a history lesson. He gathered all the tribes of Israel again to Shechem, and they presented themselves before God. Verse number 1, he said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel." And then he goes into a history lesson, talking about from Abraham until the present time, how God worked in a significant way. There's a celebration of what God has done. one of these days we're going to look at the history of Catawba Baptist Church a little bit more carefully and just think about the fact that I think it was 1790 or so that the church started when George Washington was president, and that God has blessed down through the years. And through Catawba, churches have been planted, missionaries have been sent out, preachers and youth pastors have been sent out, people have been saved. God has blessed in a significant way. We're grateful for what God has done through Catawba Baptist Church, and we need to celebrate that. And we also need to choose what we will do. And that's what Joshua talks about in verses 14 through 15. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua made it clear, did he not? That we have a choice to make. And the choice is whether we are going to serve the Lord or whether we are not. Actually, as we look at Joshua 23 and 24, there are four things that we need to make sure that we do, choose to do. We've already mentioned a couple of them in chapter 23 and verse number 6. It says, "Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left." In other words, what we need to do is obey God's word. Wouldn't you agree that that is part of God's purpose for us, to obey his word? But that's something that we need to choose to do, that we need to be committed to total obedience, predetermining that we're going to do what God wants us to do by his grace, for his honor and for his glory. So number one, as we choose what we will do, we need to choose to obey God's word. Number two, we need to choose to love the Lord. Chapter 23 and verse number 11. "Therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." Because that goes along with a great commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to love God. One and two go together. John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So we need to obey God's word. We need to love the Lord. And then in chapter 24 and verse number 14, we also need to fear the Lord. 24:14, "Now therefore fear the Lord." Now, the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that we're scared to death of him. What it means is that we greatly respect him, that we care deeply about what God thinks of us. We really need to ask ourselves a question. Do we really care what God thinks? Let me repeat that. Do we really care what God thinks about us? If we really care what God thinks, then we fear him. We respect him. We really want to please him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is extremely important. Our attitude toward God. There's one more. It says in verse number 14, "Only fear the Lord." And then it goes on to say, "And serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. The gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I guess the question is, are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to serve the world, people around us? Or are we going to first and foremost serve the Lord and seek to live for him? Obey God's word. Love the Lord. Fear the Lord. Serve the Lord. Joshua and Samuel remind me of each other. This is what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12:24. "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." Let me repeat that. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. We need to celebrate what God has done. We need to contemplate what God can do, because he is able to do far above all that we can ask or think in days to come as we trust and obey. And then finally, we need to choose what we're going to do. Are we going to obey God's word? Are we going to love him? Are we going to fear him? And are we going to serve him with all of our heart? Choose you this day what you're going to do. This is the day that many of you need to make a choice, whether it's to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, or whether it's to recommit your life to the Lord, dedicate your life to the Lord, and just say, God, I'm serious. I thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your blessing. And my choice is to obey you, to love you, to fear you, to serve you. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that you will work in a special way in each of our lives, that we might really seek to be all you want us to be and do all you want us to do for your honor and glory. We realize we can't do it in our own strength, but we can trust you, and you are able to do far above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In Jesus' name.